words, and I intended to make the two-word sermon a two-part series over the course of 2 weeks, but the Holy Spirit has something different in mind. It just keeps on going. It keeps on bubbling over. Amen. All right. So week one was our two words were wake up. Wake up. Jesus asked the question, how many loaves do you have? Wake up and see what God has given you, because you have more than you think you have. Come on. We all have a win the lottery mindset sometimes. Come on. If I ever win the lotto, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to give to the church, and I'm going to give to the poor, and I'm going to really make a difference if I ever win the lottery. Ain't tied to 10 years. Ain't taking care of your own bank account. But one day you're going to win the lottery. No, God can do miracles with the stuff you have right now. Little is much when God is in it. Hello. I'm not going to re-preach it, but that was week one. Go back and listen if you missed it. Week two, y'all remember the words from last week? Get out. I love how my wife had y'all tell each other to get out after church. Amen. Save money on the lights bill. Hallelujah. Get out. That was our word last week. Kick out the doubt. So week one, open your eyes and see what God's given you. Week two, watch your environment. Kick the doubters out of your life. Amen. Today, my message, my two words for you is fear not. This morning, I'm going to come after fear and anxiety today. We don't need more stress. We need the peace of God. Man-made peace comes when the problem is gone, right? But the peace of God happens right in the middle of the storm. That's the God I serve. It's been said that 90% of all diseases are stress-related. Think about that. Stress will kill you. It's estimated that the United States, on an annual basis, spends over $300 billion on medical expenses related to stress. That's $1 billion more than we spend on fighting obesity. You know what that tells me? It's better to be that happy than stress is getting. Hallelujah. I'm just interpreting the data. I'm following the science. My doctor doesn't appreciate that interpretation. He told me to do 30 crunches a day. I said, that's a lot of chocolate, but I'll try. Americans make up 6% of the world's population, yet we consume 90% of the world's supply of anxiety medicine. Something wrong with that picture, church. We're stressed out. Stress and fear and anxiety are taking a toll on us. We're worried and we're afraid, but Jesus is saying, fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 4:23. And this is one of the most significant phrases in all of the New Testament. Look at the bottom of that verse. It says, whatever is not from faith is sin. I want that to sink in this morning. Whatever is not from faith, doesn't say is doubt, doesn't say is bad. The Bible calls it sin. So say that out loud. Come on, help me preach. If it's not faith, it's sin. Okay? Everything that does not come from faith, the Bible calls sin. And guess what? Worry does not come from faith. Worry is the opposite of faith. Okay? And if I can get real with it this morning, worry is putting your faith in the enemy. If you really break it down, worry is saying, I choose to believe the worst possible outcome. Some of y'all don't even have to worry because you got friends and family members who will immediately offer up the worst possible outcome. Hello. Oh, you sneezed? I bet you got COVID. Uh-huh. Come on. I do it to people. Whoa, was this mic on? Oh. Worry does not come from faith. Let's define worry. Worry is the sin of trusting the problem more than trusting God. Most of us have an unhealthy relationship with worry, don't we? Come on, we got Stockholm Syndrome. We cling to it like it's our best friend, but worry is not your friend. Worry is your enemy. Think about two friends who were camping, and all of a sudden a grizzly bear came up and was about to attack them. And this guy looked over, and his best friend was putting on his tennis shoes. And he said, "Come on, man, you can't outrun a bear." He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear." Anybody figure it out? Three of you figured it out. Yeah, yeah. He didn't have to outrun the bear. He had to outrun his former best friend, okay? That's how worry is. Worry makes you feel comfortable for a little while. It makes you feel like it's your friend, but worry is out to destroy you. Worry is one of the best tools of the devil. It's one of the primary weapons the enemy uses against us. And here's why worry is so effective, because it consumes our mind. The mind is the battlefield on which spiritual warfare is fought. When you're worried about something, what do? You think about it all the time. You think about it when you go to sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night, you think about it. You wake up in the morning, you think about it. You think about it at work. You think about it at home. You think about it while you're driving. Hello. It's always on your mind, and those thoughts of worry and fear grow into imaginations. What's the difference between a thought and an imagination? A thought is when you sneeze and some smart aleck says you got COVID. You start to think, well, do I have the symptoms? And then you self-diagnose, you get on WebMD, and everything that's wrong with you says is a COVID symptom, because you should never look up anything medical on the internet. That thought, maybe I got COVID, leads to an imagination where you see yourself getting sicker and sicker, and you can't breathe, and you're on a ventilator in the hospital. And before you know it, the enemy has complete control of your mind. There ain't no room to think about Jesus or faith or trusting God for anything, because he's allowed fear to control you. What does the Bible say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen to this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Come on, somebody. We got to pull down those imaginations. Don't sit there and worry. Let your mind run crazy and let that worry and that thought become an imagination that rules your life. Listen, just because a bird flies over your head don't mean you got to let it build a nest in your hair. Just because a thought enters your mind doesn't mean you entertain it and let it grow and make it comfortable. Hello. We got to take charge of our thoughts. We either control them or they control us. Bring those thoughts into obedience to Christ and throw out those imaginations. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. The devil's weapon is fear, but our weapon is faith in God. And let me tell you, our guns are bigger than his guns. Hello. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Come on, tell somebody, I've got the faith of an overcomer. So, church, we can be people of worry, or we can be people of faith. But we can't be both. You got to be on one team or the other. Hello. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of faith. Here's something else you need to know. Worry will not leave your life voluntarily. Worry is like wrong people. Wrong people will never leave your life voluntarily. They have to be invited out of your life. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? Hello. Worry is the same way. Worry will not leave your life voluntarily. Worry is a force. It is a weapon of the enemy. The only way to get rid of a force is bring in a greater force. Bring in air support. Hallelujah. Faith, the faith of God pushes out the fear of the enemy. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I want you to hear what the Word of God says. I love this. This got me through 2020 and 2021 and every year. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear does not come from God. I want you to say this. God has not given me a spirit of fear.
Come on, say it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear. This is the scripture I tell myself when I worry, and I dare you to take ownership of it yourself. Devil, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress out. I'm not going to lose my mind because my God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And when other people in my situation are losing their mind, I refuse to bow down and give in to fear. My God has given me a sound mind. You know, when God gives you a sound mind, the world thinks you're crazy. You done lost your mind, and that's fine with me, because I have the mind of Christ. I got more sense in Jesus than I ever had in the world. Hallelujah. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. It's time that we stop worrying and start believing the promises of God.
Well, Pastor, are you telling me that if I stop worrying that all my problems going to go away and bad things won't happen?
No! Bad things are going to still happen. But here's the thing. Worry has never solved a single problem, and worry does not add anything to your life. Come on, tell somebody, worry adds nothing. Come on, tell somebody else. I don't think they got it. Turn the other way and say, worry adds nothing. Worry plus zero equals zero. It adds nothing, and if anything, worry takes away from your life. It subtracts. Listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. He said in verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If worrying can make you taller, some of y'all could play for the NBA. But worrying doesn't make you taller, and it doesn't add anything to your life. You will accomplish nothing by worrying. But what do? We worry anyway. We stay awake at night letting all the what-ifs run through our minds. We entertain every thought, every imagination. We get knots in our stomach. We get ulcers. Our back gets tight. Our neck gets tight. And we get high blood pressure and headaches. And we battle depression. We get all bent out of shape. And we get so touchy, we just snap at anybody who says anything to us and looks at us and doesn't say anything to us. And I can't believe you parked in my space and sat in my seat. I wore that shirt last Sunday. How dare you wear that top this Sunday? All because Jesus said, don't worry about your life, and we do the exact opposite. Jesus said, don't do that. Tell your neighbor, don't do that. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life. Two steps to defeating fear. Number one, do what God asks you to do. This applies to giant leaps of faith and small steps of obedience. Just do what He tells you to do. That's the first step to overcoming fear. We have to do what God asks us to do. I think many Christians over-spiritualize things. We put everything on God to do. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Won't He do it? Then there's some other things. There's some things that God will do, but there are other things that God's waiting for us to do. We're saying, won't He do it? God's saying, when are you going to do it? You got to remember this Christian walk is a partnership. There are things that God, only He can do, and there are things that we must do. Person needs a job. You ask him, are you looking for jobs? Nope. Got any interviews? Nope. You working on your resume? Nope. You networking and talking to employers? Nope. Then what are you doing? I'm waiting on God to give me a job. People do it all the time. I ain't doing anything, but I'm waiting for God to bless me with a job, really, because maybe God's waiting on you to do your part. People do it all the time. I want to get married. Oh, yeah? Have you been out of the house recently? No. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody of the opposite sex? No. Have you taken a bath in the past 6 months? What? You shave the hair off the back of your neck? What? How you expect to find a date looking like Teen Wolf? You tell me God's going to send me a wife, but I'm telling you, unless you do some things, she ain't going to want to marry your backside when she meets you. Hello? What are you doing to get ready? Because playing video games all day in your mama's basement is not going to cut it. Do you really want to get married? I heard somebody say something about marriage the other day, and I made my own little take on it. Marriage is a little bit of heaven and a whole lot of help me, Jesus. There are some things that God will do, but there are other things that we have to do. Tell somebody to do your part. Somebody who's always broke, God's going to get me out of debt. God's going to bless me financially. That's good. I believe that. But let me ask you, are you using self-control when it comes to spending money? No. Are you saving any money? No. Are you balancing your checkbook? What's a checkbook? Are you keeping up with your spending? No. Are you tithing? What's that? You see, sometimes your anxiety problem is caused by an integrity problem. Sometimes your anxiety problem at its root is an integrity problem. Do you understand that? Sometimes we create the anxiety because we're not walking in obedience to God. God is faithful to His promise. But hear me, church. Promises come with conditions we have to satisfy. You look all throughout the Bible. God says, if you do this, then I'll do that. Malachi 3:10, if you bring the tithes and offerings to me, then I will open up the windows of heaven. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land. Listen to what Jesus said. If you forgive others, then God will forgive you. If you believe, then you'll receive what you ask in prayer. It's a partnership. You do your part, God will do His part. When we're worried, there are some things that are beyond your control, but there are other things that you can control. You can help. You can't help a diabetes diagnosis, but maybe you can control how many Krispy Kreme donuts you go eat after church today. Hello. There may be things that you can't control, but there will always be something you can do to walk in obedience to God. Amen? Everybody okay? Number one, do what God's asking you to do. Number two, give God what you cannot do. And this is so important. Now, this is where a lot of people are right now. I can feel it. Give God what you can't do. The disciples were in a storm they couldn't stop. The Bible says that they were rowing. They were doing their part, but the wind was against them. Mark 6:47, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then he saw them. You know, that's one of the overlooked miracles in this chapter. Think about it for a minute. They're in the middle of the sea in a storm. They're rowing and the wind's against them. And it's the middle of the night, and Jesus is on the shore, and he saw them. Church, there is no night so dark. There is no sea so rough. There is no storm so strong that Jesus cannot see you. He sees you. He knows exactly where you are. You feel like you're alone and forsaken and forgotten and abandoned, but Jesus sees you. The Bible says that Jesus saw them rowing against the wind. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Jesus just kept on going. But he heard them holler because they thought he was a ghost. Church, they missed it. They completely missed Jesus. What do you do when you zig and God zags? What happens when God does something good in your life and you react in the completely wrong way? It's time to get the letter L, out. Say what? It's time to get the L out because you're caught up in the world when you ought to be in the Word. W-O-R-L-D, W-O-R-D. You need to get the L out of your life. You need to get out of the world and focus on the Word of God. Hello? What is the L? The lust of the flesh, the lust for things of this world, and liking yourself way too much. Listening to yourself more than Jesus. Hello. And that's why instead of following the Holy Ghost, they were focused on Halloween because they thought Jesus was a ghost coming to scare them. Thought he was a boogeyman. He was the Savior of the world, the Son of God, coming to set them free. And they didn't even recognize it because they were caught up in the drama and caught up in the mess. You've got to get out of the world and get in the Word. Amen? Verse 49, when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, but they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them, and he said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. In the Greek, it literally says, I am, fear not. Jesus literally speaks to them and says to them in the storm, I am, fear not. You don't have to be afraid when the great I am is in the boat. Child of God, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be bound by fear, by stress, by anxiety when the great I am is with you. God is saying to you this morning, I am, fear not. Instead of worrying about the stuff that you can't change, that you have no control over, why don't you put it in the hands of the great I am and watch what God can do. Philippians 4:6 says this, be careful for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it don't even make sense why you're happy right now. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we would live out these two verses of the Bible, our world would change and we would touch every life we come in contact with. This is a powerful verse. Now listen to how it's worded in the New Living Translation because it really breaks it down. I love this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That breaks it down, don't it? Come on, tell somebody, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's what the Bible says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then, and only then, don't skip step one, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Those things you're worried about, those things that you can't control, that stuff you can't fix, take those things and give them to God in prayer. And when you give them over to the great I am, then the peace of God that passes all understanding, that can't be comprehended, that doesn't make any sense, it'll guard your heart and your mind. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You got to give that burden to God. It's too heavy for you. Only God can handle it. Lay it down and don't pick it back up. I don't know if you've ever done this, but somebody that I know personally that I'm very close to that's wearing a burgundy jacket has in the past taken a burden and laid it on the altar at church and then snuck in Monday morning, picked it right back up, started worrying about it again. Take that worry, that fear, that anxiety, lay it down at the feet of Jesus and don't pick it back up. Matthew tells us the end of the story. He says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. And that's the key to not picking it back up. Because worry and worship cannot occupy the same space. If you want to keep worry out of your life, you better fill your life with worship. You better wake up in the morning praising God, saying, Lord, I thank You. This is the day You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And even if you got a rough day, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'm going to keep praising You anyway. Romans 8:28. Lord, today I hadn't gone the way I wanted to, but You work all things together for good of those who love You and called according to Your purpose. Praise God. All day long, in the good times, in the bad times, praise Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You live a life of worship, there will be no room for worry. There just won't be room for worry to come in. Worry and worship can't occupy the same space. And with that said, I dare you right now to stand to your feet and worship God for just a moment. And as you worship Him, as you lift your hands and lift your voice, let worry flee from this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, worship Him for a moment. Cast your cares on Him this morning.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Father. If you've got a burden or worry that you need to lay at the altar is open. As we continue in this atmosphere of worship, just lay those cares and those burdens right at Jesus' feet. Stop carrying around that heaviness you're not meant to bear. Lord, I just thank you for today. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you are the God that sets us free. Lord, that you are the God that cares about every concern, that cares about every worry, and cares about every fear. And Lord, right now, we just lay every burden, every worry, everything that's waking us up at night. God, we give it to you right now in the name of Jesus. We give that fear. We give that worry. We give those kids. We give our marriage. We give our job. We give our health. We give this world to you, Father, and we lay it at your feet, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have every answer, and that as we lay these cares at your feet, Father, that you fill us with your peace, that you fill us with your joy, that you fill us with your hope, that you fill us with a sound mind, Father. God, that you give us a sound mind, that when things come back, as we lay this stuff at your feet, God, that we don't pick it back up, but that we're reminded that you've got it, God, that you're bigger than we are, that we cannot control stuff, and God, that we give every care to you, Father. And Lord, that we surrender those cares to you, Father. And God, that as we surrender, Lord, that we walk in the obedience to you, Father. Lord, that cares and burdens that have become our identity, Father, that you have set us free of that. And Lord, that where we've wrestled and we've not surrendered, that this morning, Father, that we surrender to you, Father. We surrender our kids to you. We surrender a marriage to you, Father. We surrender a diagnosis to you, Lord. God, that we surrender anxiety and depression to you because we are not meant to carry these cares to you around. We're meant to walk in freedom because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, I thank you, Father, that you set me free. God, that you set me free of every care, of every worry, of every burden. And Lord, we thank you for that. And God, I thank you, Father, that we trust in you this morning, Lord. God, that we trust in your promises, that we trust in your word, that we don't waver, but that we stay constant in your word, Father. And Lord, that right now, Father, that we're going to choose to worship instead of worry. That right now in this moment, that as we raise our hands and as we worship for the next few moments, that we're not going to worry, Father, but that we're going to trust you in our worship. That we're going to trust you, that when the enemy comes into our mind, Father, that we are going to raise an anthem of worship to you, Father. That we're going to cast those cares, that we're going to get a song that we sing. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for that song. God, I thank you for that worship, Father. And Lord, we praise you, Father. And we worship you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are the risen King.
Today, God is telling you that those cares and those burdens that you've been carrying around, it's time that you let it go. There's a lot going on in the world that we could just get up in arms about. You can have stockpiles of stuff. You can have gasoline barrels full. But you know what God said? He said that I am the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords. And you can't have enough stuff because I'm the one that's in charge. I am in charge. The burden that you've been carrying around for years, your kids, whatever it may be, God said, let it go right now. Do not walk out of here another Sunday with this heavy load that's making you walk humped over on your back because you're so heavy. God said, be free in the name of Jesus. He said, don't walk around with this weight that you can't move forward, you can't move backwards, but you're stuck. He said, I sent my son for you to be free, for you not to be worried, for you not to have all these cares and these burdens. And he said, it's time to get a hold of what my word says. He said, quit quoting it and start living it. We all know the word, but now we got to walk that walk. And it's time to start walking out what the word says. And that is to be free, to let go of what the world is telling us we need to be worried about and just give it to God because he is in control. Amen? Is God in control of your life? Is he in control? Can we say amen? Amen? That's not good enough. Can we just say it a little bit louder? Can we touch heaven for just a minute? If God has been good to you, if he set you free, if he has come through time after time when you had no idea how it was going to happen, and he still was delivering and he was faithful, he deserves so much glory and so much honor. He is the risen King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. He is our cornerstone. He holds us up. He's that pillar. Thank you. As we close out, aren't you so glad that He's our cornerstone? He's our cornerstone. That ain't go anywhere. He's always there, no matter the storm. He's strong. And He makes you strong. And this morning, if you have not given your life to God, today's the day. Stop trying everything else, thinking that it's going to bring you the joy that you need. Stop searching and running, but today come home. And today, if everyone will repeat this prayer after me, we're going to agree for eternal life. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in You. Save me. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And I will live for You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.